You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.
It's your boy Tom here, and we are back with another episode of the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast, quarantine episode 10 million. It's our 10 millionth episode, boys.
Let's celebrate. In quarantine, that's how I feel anyway. Here,
exactly. It's an exponential in quarantine. But how was your weekend, fellas?
I guess I'll go first since I usually go first, right?
Right.
I will say I have something interesting that is, it's a little mix of me and D. We have started doing card breaks. Okay. So we're going to start doing breaks of trading cards, basketball, football, and baseball. So we're going to start doing breaks where we...
What the hell is a break, Gary? Tell us what a break is.
I was about to say.
A break is we have a box of cards or a couple box of cards, and then you allow people to join into the break, whether it be 10 people, 15 people, 20 people, 30 people, and everybody gets a team. So you randomize what team everybody would get, and then when you do that, you open the packs one by one, and then you show them the cards. So you're live streaming this for them to see. And then they're trying to hit the big card. So if it was basketball, everybody's trying to hit Zion or Ja Morant. They're trying to hit those, and we're going through it, and then we have to ship it off to them. And that's just the fun part. We get to interact with people. Trading cards have really came back a lot. We actually started our own Facebook group. Now it's the Breaker Boys. So we're on Facebook. Breaker. We're going to be doing that, and we're just starting that out. So I think that's probably the biggest thing. We're going to have to get time into this because I know he's been asking questions, but he hasn't jumped on it yet. So I do have a lot of cards for us to break. But I think it's just something anybody can do during this time period. When you're at home, you know we can't go out as much. But something that interact with more people and just have fun because people are chasing people. And especially with sports possibly starting back, all these names are going to be in everybody's mind and wanting to get their cards after seeing them play and stuff like that. It's just going to be something fun. It's going to be different.
Well, I'm confused as to how these people are acquiring these cards because I've checked like 10 different Walmarts and Targets, and I'm talking about from the heart of Dallas to the, you know, BFE of Weatherford looking for these card packs, and they are always cleared out totally. I ran into somebody the other day that said that they have like – they realize that certain people have schemes, and they'll like move cards – so they can tell when the cards have been reset or like have paid the guys that work for Walmart to like put them behind boxes to the side and they'll come in and get them later. So I'm just like, it's real out here in these streets trying to acquire these boxes that you sent.
Yeah. And the crazy thing is a lot of people get them off of sites off online and stuff like that, which they upcharge everything. Obviously, they're trying to make money. Like some of these places, you might find, like for example, there's some boxes you can find at Walmart that are $30, $40, and people are selling them for $150 online. To me, that's outrageous because you're just taking away from people that actually want to collect. Like I can understand you upcharging some. Maybe you charge $80 instead of $40 because you had to go find them and all that kind of stuff. But $150 is outrageous to charge somebody because you're just trying to get people into the hobby. To me, in my eyes.
Yeah, but you're doing the same damn thing, it sounds like. Well, we are, rather.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, you'd be doing it, but you're also doing it at, you're undercutting everybody else. You're not really undercutting. You're just making it more, bringing more people around and into it because it's more affordable. If you make it more affordable, you're going to get more people wanting to do it. If you have it way too high priced, why would people want to do it? And it's more about the hobby and the fun of it than it is about making money. It's more
supply
just covering
and
the
demand
cost of the cards.
Demand, brother. Right. Is that what you did, Gary?
No, I'm here.
I said, is that all you did?
I mean, we also need a little update from the Green Thumb Corner. It all good in the hood over there?
You're very quiet.
We also need an update from the Green Thumb Corner. Is everything good? Good that way.
Yeah, I actually got fruit on the trees. I actually FaceTimed D and I showed him some of my green fruit that was on six of my trees already. They're not ripe yet, but they're starting to grow. So he has seen them on video. I will, when they come, when they're able to eat, I'm going to take us out on the thing, and we're going to show you the video of it so you can see it.
He is so excited about these little fruit trees. I'm just proving my point. Fruit. But these are trees that was planted
correct
years ago, not the ones that he talked about.
These were planted by me 3 or 4 years ago.
Allegedly. I've never heard him so excited about planting anything until this year.
That's because he planted them
3 or 4 years ago, and him not mentioning it, it just doesn't seem like the Gary I know.
Also, I have one more thing that I did this weekend. I keep getting crap from these two guys on the podcast. They're saying my internet sucks.
It goes in and out.
Okay,
it does suck.
I'm gonna show y'all something right now. I bought a 300-foot wire to go all the way across my house, so I'm hardwired in, so I don't have to hear their shit anymore.
Is that an Ethernet cord?
It is an Ethernet cord hardwired into my computer, so y'all can't see. Any outages are not mine anymore.
I was wondering why you were staying so clear the whole time, Gary. That makes all the sense now.
Gary.
Now it's going to be on.
And you wasn't going to say anything. You were going to wait till we gave you hair. You were going to wait till I gave you hair.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny. So,
one more thing with Gary before we move on. I had to give a shout out to Dee's wife. She listens to the podcast every week. So like we said last week, that she can correct us with the things that D'Angelo lies about. And she said that we need to name the Gary segment where he gives sexual tips. 50 Shades of Gary. How great is that name? I just thought it was so clever. So I had to give her a shout out. Stay tuned for the end of the episode for 50 Shades of Gary. But we're going ahead and give it that teaser. D, tell us about your weekend.
So, yeah, you know, my weekend wasn't much different. Saw Austin Dillon win the NASCAR race. Congrats. For winning that. What else did I do this weekend? Went on a bike ride. Had my first accident where I caused it.
Hold on. Didn't you just say you were just toting last week that you've never had an accident and you weren't going to have an accident?
Why you got to bring up old shit? Why you got to bring up old shit? Is that not karma? It's not karma because I don't believe in karma. I think bad stuff happened to good people and good things happen to bad people. So I don't think karma has anything to do with it. However, I can say this. I'm more so pissed off because every cyclist that I ever talked about, they said, if you do it long enough, every one of the good cyclists have accidents. And I was like, you know what? I won't be one of those that's going to get out of cycling before I have an accident. And of course, I've had two. But this one I caused, I went down and then the guy behind me went down and then the guy behind him went down. I felt bad, not because of us going down, but I went down. I feel like the hardest because I mean, my perspective, my accident, it's me. I went down the hardest. The guy behind me, he went down too. But then there was an older gentleman that went down third. He stayed down the longest, and I felt like he ain't even hit the ground hard. I'm like, bro, you really milking this thing. Like, you probably should just get up, bounce on the bike. Like, I felt like he really took all the attention away from the guys that could have really potentially been hurt, which is myself and the other guy behind me. But he really took all the spotlight on that. And I'm kind of salty, like, yo, bro, we understand that you owe. You could potentially really be hurt. But at the same time, you really didn't hit that hard either. So I felt like he milked it a little bit. Had a teaching moment with my son this weekend because, you know, we were riding bikes and he got frustrated. And he didn't – and I don't understand why he got so frustrated. But – He was trying to get on his bike, and he's gotten on his bike a million times and rode off on it. But this particular day, it was hot. It was muggy. It was Sunday afternoon, actually. It was hot. It was muggy. And I was like, son, let's get on the bike. Let's go for this ride. He was like, he really didn't want to do it. So with all that going on, he couldn't get on his bike. And he was like, I can't, Daddy. And I was like, yes, you can. You can do it. And he was like, no, Daddy, I can't. And so he started doing this thing that all kids do, get ready to look for this time, where he was barely picking the bike up and he was dropping. He's like, see, I can't even pick up the bike. And like, it was driving me bananas, bro. And I'm like, if you don't grab that damn bike, get on it and do what you've done so many times. He was like, Daddy, I can't. And I was like, yes, you can. Don't ever say you can't do something. If you tell me that again, I'm going to spank you. So he held it together. He was mad. He was upset. He was pissed off. And I was like, we're going to stay out here all day. He was like, Daddy, I'm thirsty. I was like, well, we're going to be thirsty together until you get on this bike and you go. And as I'm saying this, he gets on his bike and he goes. He get on his bike and goes. I was like, see, you can do it. He was like, but I can't. And I was like, what did I tell you? He's like, I'm sorry, Daddy. So he rolled down to the stop sign. He came back, and I was like, see, dude, you crushed it. He was like, yeah, I crushed it. He was like, Daddy, you want to ride? And I'm thinking to myself, like, oh, now you want to ride. Just a few minutes ago, we was having a mental battle with you not really wanting to get on this bike and not wanting to go. But it was funny, but that's all I did this weekend, man. Other than that, you know,
hold on, hold on. I got a quick question because I feel like you just glossed over your wreck.
Right.
So you really tried to cheat. I'm not going to lie. I was already prefaced that you might not bring it up. So I was already given the info beforehand. I was also, a little birdie told me they were a few bikes behind you, and their superior intellect and athleticism allowed them not to hit you and get off of the grass. So I'm just saying, the way you tell the story, they are just as athletic you are because they avoided the wreck. And you know, they almost died, but they did it because of their athleticism.
I'm going to tell you right now, I know who that is. Tom, you can go to hell, okay? You can go to hell, Tom, because this is what happened. So my perspective, I could be wrong, and I'm putting this as a side note, but this is what I saw. So I'm going down for my water bottle by the time somebody's pulling off. So you pull and shift. So every two people, because you're in a line, take the headwind, and they make it easier for the people behind them. So then you pull off. Well, they pulled off, and when they pulled off, it was a car coming, so they got back over. Well, while they was pulling off, I was up next, so I was getting ready to speed up. But when they saw the car coming up, they got back over, and I got the water bottle in my right hand, and I got my steering wheel on my left. So when they got back over, I'm like, oh, shit, I got a decision to make. I can run up their back because I'm obviously going faster, or I can hit these brakes and try to slow down. And when I hit the brakes, bro, my front wheel started shaking, lost control. I did a front flip. And then the guy behind me, he went down. And then the guy behind him went down. And like me and the younger guy, we popped up like, oh, man, you straight, you cool. You know, I'm so sorry, bro. I didn't mean to do that. He was like, nah, man, you know, stuff happened. And I look back and the old guy is still on the ground. I'm like, man, get your ass up. Like, you ain't even fall that hard. But, you know, it's my accident. So, you know, I'm trying to make sure everybody cool. It just took him way too long to get up. So then now everybody in the group like, are you okay? Are you fine? I'm like, yeah, he fine. He just let him catch his breath. Hell, like, it's going to be all right. And, you know, my wife had gotten calls and texts and stuff like from people that wasn't even involved in the accident, that wasn't even in our group ride, that was in a whole nother group ride. Like, yeah, you know, we heard what happened. And I'm like, damn, like, I'm OK. Did they tell him I'm OK, too?
I was also told you had a little road rash. I would like to see that road rash.
No, I don't want to bring that. Yeah, I got a little road rash. I caught it on my knee. I got it on my elbow. I got it on my shoulder. Oh, it suck. Road rash suck in bike accidents, man. They really do. And what I did was when I hit the ground, the first thing I did was get out of the way, because normally it's like the domino effect, especially when you're riding like 20 and you're at the front. You don't know exactly the extent of how many bikes are going to go down, but they're going down.
Yeah, that sucks, but I think it's funny that you were just talking crap about the wreck last time, and now you're
right.
You cause this one, and then you just try to gloss over it.
Yeah,
we're gonna let you do that.
Yeah, yeah, I was some assholes, bro. You know, I knew it was like this.
This little pattern you got going on, D. You talk junk about the bikes, you get in an accident. You talk junk about Gary's internet. And now your internet crapped out on you today. So we need to be careful today on this podcast of what you say.
Yeah, I know, right? But I came up with a really good question, though, during the course of this weekend that I wanted to kick the podcast off, if you don't mind, Tom, because I think it's a very interesting one. So in your mind, and to the podcast listeners out there that's listening to this podcast, who do you think is the most decorated female athlete of all time? Not you looking up somewhere. Like, what's the first three females that come to mind in your mind, athletic-wise, on being the all-time greatest?
Serena Williams is the first one that pops in my mind.
Okay. Serena was one of mine.
He said three, sir.
I know. I'm just saying
Serena's one.
I'm going to go with what's the Olympian? Simone Biles.
Okay, that was my second one. That was my second one. It wasn't my first thought, but those two were in my top three.
And then third, I'd probably say third is, what's the girl, Breanne Stewart, or that like had won all those championships in Connecticut? Breanne Stewart. I don't know. That's people that jumped in my mind. What about you, Gary?
What you got, Gary?
The basketball, the swimmer?
Yeah, basketball. She's a basketball player.
Okay.
For me, I had two tennis players, was number one and two, and that was Serena Williams and Martina Navratilova or something. I don't know how to say her last name. There's another one that's similar, but it's not her. This is Martina. She's a lot older. She's like the 70s, 80s. Okay. She was a huge tennis player back then. And then Mia Hamm, because this is iconic with the U.S. women's soccer, with her flipping her shirt and all that kind of stuff. That scene just resonates as something I always see when I think of an all-time great woman athlete. And I would say those would be the first three that popped in my head.
So the first three that popped in my head, immediately I was thinking FloJo. I'm like, FloJo, because she set all those records. And then I went Simone Biles, and then I went Serena Williams. I actually went Serena Williams, then Simone Biles. And then my wife looked up, you know, the most iconic women in history. And Serena and Venus Williams out of 180 was 112 and 113. Oh, wow. I couldn't imagine 111 people that are more iconic than those two. But then when she looked at it, like the top 10 was occupied by track athletes.
Yeah, that's the thing. I would say a lot of it would come into play because like it's our heyday. We grew up watching Venus and Serena. So for us, that's ingrained in our mind. Versus you have people in the 70s, 60s, the Olympians, they were amazing. And we don't really know anything about them because we don't really look up the research of it.
We just know one. That's FloJo.
And that's the thing is like, I think that's probably part of it. I wouldn't say, and that's the thing is every generation, this is also a conversation we always have with MJ and LeBron. It's generational that whoever grew up watching them, that's probably who their favorite's going to be because that's just how people are. See, me and you, we grew up watching Jordan and LeBron. We see both. Time, on the other hand, is so brainwashed because all he really knows is LeBron. So I think that's the whole thing is generational.
Listen to Gary preach. Just what you do, Tom. You listen to Gary preach because he's preaching right now.
I think it's just generational. So I think that's part of why for you and for us, Venus and Serena are going to be the top five no matter what up there because we grew up watching them. We don't know about all the older athletes. And I think that's also does a discredit to them. We should do more research. We should have more info on it because there could be other athletes that we're not even thinking about, but because we don't know them, we're not going to mention them.
So this is why I say that. And let me finish this conversation before I ask. So we went back also because I went down this rabbit hole this weekend and I looked up the highest paid female athlete ever. Who do you think it was, Tom?
I'd still have to go with Serena.
Serena is number two.
See, I would think a tennis player just because tennis is huge. It's the biggest women's sport other than U.S. soccer that I always get talked about.
Yeah, Maria Sharapovich is number one most paid athlete of all time, female. $195 million. Serena came in at $180 million. And then third is Venus Williams with $95 million. I'm going to say that again. $195, $180, $95.
That's wild.
It's a big difference. But the Williams sisters have number one. So
The sisters, they do 100%.
Sharapova is just so smoking hot that I'm sure she got plenty of ad money.
Yeah. But this is why I said this, and this is why I came to mind. Gary, what you just said is generational talent. And to this day, there's a lot of athletes that if you say anything about baseball, Babe Ruth's name has withstood the test of time. So if Babe Ruth's name has withstood the test of time, what female name do you think will withstand the test of time? Because Babe Ruth, there's a lot. I've never seen Babe Ruth play in my life. When people ask me greatest baseball players of all time, I throw Babe Ruth in there because other people have told me what this man has done, and I see his stats, and I'm like, dude, this guy right here had to be a baller. But then you look at his body type, you was like, well, how good was he? Because when he played, like, they wasn't even really playing baseball. Like, they was like, oh, he was a slugger. You should have seen him. And I'm like, damn, did you see him? Because, I mean, he played black and white.
Right.
So if he can withstand the test of time, what female has that? Because Michael Jordan, I'm telling you right now, he's going to withstand the test of time. It doesn't matter. You said generational talent. He's going to be a all-world talent, and people will never forget who he is. Granted, his shoes are popular. But Babe Ruth seriously has nothing to keep his name where it is right now, but yet he keeps popping up in baseball conversations or in greatest athletes conversation, period.
I would never say greatest athlete. I could say baseball. I could say he's up there. I wouldn't say he's the best.
Saying, well, baseball, when you talk baseball, you can't talk baseball without saying Babe Ruth.
Correct.
So if what, and even when you say athletes, not necessarily saying the Bambino, I'm just saying his name withstanding the test of time. Like, if you ask me what's the greatest female basketball player, I couldn't tell you because nobody stands out like Babe Ruth has stood out. So that's why I asked. Does Serena Williams have enough to be an athlete that can withstand the test of time?
Oh, yeah, easy. But it's
I think you say it's easy. It is easy for us to think of that now. But in the future, is it?
Say, damn time.
The thing, like, in that, that's like you're saying, that's a huge thing. Like, she's definitely arguably the best tennis player of all time, arguably, because I think Natova's up there. The other woman that I mentioned, I don't know how to say her last name, but
yeah,
I think she's up there too. You also have Steffi Graf as another one that's an amazing, that's tennis-wise. We're talking about tennis because they get publicized more. You only hear about the Olympians every 4 years, so they get forgotten about, especially if they don't come back the following year and do something. Then they get lost in the time. Like, that's why I said Mia Hamm, just because of the iconic symbols. Yeah. I think that's another part that plays into it, is if you have that iconic symbol or that photo or that match that's going to stand the test of time, that can also help your legacy as well. Because, like, Jordan, everybody knows a little jump in the air that he did, or the little Utah Jazz shot. Everybody knows that.
Yes, everybody
That's the thing. It's like with Mia Hamm, everybody knows her sliding and with her shirt off, flipping it around. That's iconic. Venus Williams, Serena Williams, do they have that iconic symbol behind them, or that picture that will stand the test of time? That I don't know. I don't watch enough women's tennis to know.
I think what has Serena that helps her is going to be records, because she's going to go on to break so many records. And part of why Babe Ruth stuck around for so long was because of his home run record. And then, you know, Hank Aaron took over that from him. But that record, having that record, kept his name on the mouths of people talking about baseball, because you're talking about the home run king. Same thing with, like, Jack Nicholson and Jack Nicholson, whatever. Whoever, Jack Nicklaus.
Yeah.
The golfer, damn it. You know, with him having that record, every time that Tiger gets closer to it, they keep talking about him. So that's kind of what keeps him around. You know, so it's, when you have a record like that where you're an all-time great and you're kind of like the head of a group, you're going to remain important, because every time somebody gets close to you, you're going to get mentioned. You're going to get brought up. And I think that's one of the things that will help Serena stand the test of time.
Well, this is why I have to dispute that, because Bill Russell is one of the greatest basketball players of all time. He has the most championship rings. But if you ask a millennial who the hell Bill Russell is, they have no idea who he is. They'd be hard pressed to find out who he is. Like, even Dr. J, I thought Dr. J would be one of those that would stand the test of time. But even him, he's fading. Michael Jordan, LeBron James, why are you talking about he's going to fade.
Oh,
and nobody's going to know who the hell he is. I'm telling you, because there's no, he doesn't have those moments like Michael Jordan has.
Yes, he doesn't have those moments.
Yes, he does. No, he does not. Yes, no, he does not.
So you got to remember, you got to be unbiased in this aspect. Like, I don't see people showing pictures of LeBron, all they ever talk about is the smoke. That's not actually his gameplay. And that wasn't even created by him.
The block against Iguodala gets showed all the time. The little celebration after he hit a game winner where he pumps his fist over his knees, that gets shown all the time.
That's for you.
That's some people do that as a celebration in football.
But people aren't
like going for touchdowns.
And the thing is, no offense, LeBron's clothing and shoes haven't taken off like Jordan's. Jordan, that actually helped Jordan stay in longer too because of his clothing line and his shoe line are so popular. LeBron's not going to have that because his shoes aren't as popular. People aren't excited about his. So that tells you older.
LeBron is number two in shoe sales almost every year
to Jordan, who's not even playing no more.
Right,
correct.
But Jordan shoes is its like own brand and identity. Yeah, that doesn't mean that LeBron.
Why did you let him hijack the podcast, bro? You let him hijack the podcast with LeBron James.
He's always biased, and I'm trying to be an unbiased.
But you guys are biased in your head.
No, I'm not talking about Jordan. I'm saying in general terms. And every athlete, you need to add the iconic moment. A celebration is not an iconic moment.
That's what Michael Jordan's jumping and fist in the air in Utah was. He was celebrating.
No, he pushed off and then drained the shot.
But it's like the jumping in the air celebrating. Like I'm saying is you don't recognize what LeBron's moments are because you don't want to recognize that LeBron's greatness is real.
Bro,
scoring the last 25 points against the Pistons.
We don't care.
I can go on for days about iconic moments for LeBron if y'all want to do that.
Tom, we don't care. We're talking about is there a woman out there, like at first, I'm going to tell you who I thought was holding the ham down, and then she ended up losing and getting her ass beat. Ronda Rousey was on her way to having that iconic name, and then she lost to Holly Holmes and then got her ass beat by Amanda Nunes. And now Amanda Nunes now has that torch. And I think she has what it takes, but she just doesn't have the do right bitch as Ronda Rousey call it. She doesn't have that on the mic skills, if you get what I'm saying. Like she doesn't have that Conor McGregor type feel with her where she's like, hey, look at me. She just do her talking with her fighting. But I mean, Layla Ali at one point, she was like, she could have been like that household name and been iconic. But then, you know, but I think Rapinoe right now is on her way to being that household name as it relates to soccer and what she stands for as an activist. And if they continue to keep winning, women's soccer could be where it needs to be and where it should be, you know, right up there at the top, because that's how Mia Hamm made a name for herself. So I just wanted to know who had the moxie or the name to withstand the test of time, who could be the next Babe Ruth for women's sports. And I think Jack and Jordan Kersey has had that for a very long time, but at some point, somebody else has to take the helm, because they did it in baseball with Hank Aaron. They did it in baseball with Sammy Sosa or Mark McGwire, you know, and I can go on and on with those names. Yeah, I mean, whatever you want to call it. I'm just saying, they say Lance Armstrong, he tainted, but he gonna stand the test of time. So
well, that's because he's the only cyclist anybody knows. That's the reason. He made cyclists a name thing for people to know. And that's why he will stand the test of time, because of that aspect. Because honestly, they don't even talk about the Tour de France anymore when it comes on. That's all they used to talk about when Lance was racing. Now they don't talk about it at all.
Yeah, but people that don't even watch cycling, including yourself and Tom, know about cycling because of Lance Armstrong.
I agree. I agree with that.
Yeah. So I'll pose this question, and then Tom, I'm going to let you take it over. What football player do you think that's playing today that can withstand the test of time in terms of being that iconic name that everybody knows about?
Patrick
Mahomes. Who has that potential?
Patrick Mahomes.
Tom Brady.
You're absolutely right, Gary. Tom Brady. It was a no-brainer. Patrick Mahomes, I don't think there's no way you can live up to a $500 million contract. There's no way. There's no way. You tell me how you can live up to that. The only guy that has ever can come close to that is Tom Brady.
Let me tell you how he could live up to it, or what I think is likely.
No, not how. You tell me what's likely.
If he wins, another one, two, three Super Bowl, like probably even two, because there's teams out there that have spent millions of dollars to not even sniff a Super Bowl. So, I mean, honestly, just winning any more Super Bowls is probably going to be good, because it's like people get overpaid. And the thing about his contract is he's not guaranteed all that money. A lot of that is incentives. He does have to get – yeah.
I thought it was a terrible contract he signed, but personally.
Nice. What?
For how much money he gets guaranteed versus how much is not guaranteed, it's a terrible contract.
It really is. It was a team-friendly contract.
Like in our terms of what a player should get, like he didn't get enough guaranteed.
He's making $40 million a year.
It's not guaranteed.
A bunch of his
this will blow your mind. In the first 3 years of his deal, Ryan Tannehill makes more that for next 3 years than he does. That will blow your mind. That's why I'm saying that's a terrible contract.
I didn't check into the details of his contract. So you think Patrick Mahomes is a name that can withstand the test of time. Gary, you think Tom Brady?
I would have said Tom Brady too. I thought you were talking about like an up and coming new guy.
No, I'm talking about somebody that's still playing football time. So Tom Brady's still playing football. So you know, he kind of makes that.
If you don't want to use playing football, that is a huge football star. Peyton Manning will stand longer than Tom Brady.
I'm gonna tell you a person that's not in football that's gonna stay longer than both of them. Michael Vick. His name will withstand the test of time longer than those two, and it ain't going to have nothing to do with football. It's going to have something to do with him being convicted of the dogfighting.
Only reason why I don't think it will is because, and I say Peyton Manning, because I feel like Peyton Manning's eventually going to be on TV doing stuff, and I don't see Tom Brady being on TV. That's why I think Peyton Manning will be around longer.
If you're going to say that, I'm going to go with Tony Romo then.
Again, we're talking about who had accolades there in playing too.
Peyton Manning actually has those
accolades behind him too.
Yeah, I'm gonna go on a limb and I'm gonna say Russell Wilson will be one that will stand the test of time, because he seems like he's one of those guys that do all the right things. He keep his name in the paper, and you can't help who he's married to and he's having kids with. So it's very interesting, just his dynamic period on what they did in the short 3 or 4 years. And it wasn't even necessarily him. It was the defense that really catapulted him into where he is today. But, yeah, I think Russell Wilson will withstand the test of time. His name will anyway.
It will be interesting to see.
It will be.
In the coming years.
Yep. What you got, Ty?
Well, I know we had a very interesting question that Gary posed to us this week. And I kind of want to let Gary be the one to ask it, because I feel like he probably has some sort of background to come along with it. Gary, the question about words and how that affects us.
Yeah, so I had a question, because I've had a couple conversations with a couple friends and stuff, and I know like cyberbullying and all these type of things are big things, and I agree they shouldn't be done and all that kind of stuff. But my biggest thing is I truly don't understand. Like, so this is a question I'm posing because I want to know how people allow this to happen, because I don't understand it. So I'm trying to get an understanding. How do people – go ahead. What do you got?
No. Go ahead.
I said, how do people allow words to hurt them? Like, how do people allow words to affect their mood, how they are, their day? How do they give other people that kind of power to allow them to have use words that are actually going to change the way they feel during the day and all that kind of stuff? I understand some people have issues like depression and stuff. Like, that's a whole nother level. I can understand all that stuff. I'm just talking about...
You're talking about a person that doesn't have any underlying conditions.
Like me and you, like if you said something to me, super bad or whatever, why would I give you that power for those words to hurt me? To me, I'm like, you have all this power. Well, I don't understand that.
Well, first of all, asshole, if I say something and it don't hurt your feelings, then I know we're not real friends, motherfucker. So what you mean, like, how, if I give it me the power, like, what's the perks in being a friend with you if what I say doesn't affect you? Like, that's not me being a friend, then. That's just like me being anybody else.
The difference but is I get I what you're joking. So, like, that's why it shouldn't bother me. That's what I'm saying. Like, with a random person, like, using cyber
bullying. Okay, I get what you're saying. So, I don't think it's the words, Gary. I think it's the tone. maybe it's the tone, because I've heard girls call each other bitches, right? Like they use the B word and they're like friendly, and you can tell by the tone, like, oh, they know each other. They say it, but then when somebody outside say that, like, they be like, what? Like, hold up. Like, that's not a perk that come with me. Like, we don't know each other like that. So you don't get those perks. So I guess it's more so a defense mechanism, and I don't know you, why are you talking to me type deal. So it's more so they upset that they're being talked to by somebody they don't know, maybe. Yeah, but, I don't know.
But why do you allow that to actually affect you? Like, why does that have any bearing on anything you do? If you don't know the person, why do you care what they say? Like, why should that affect you where, oh, my day's ruined, I'm mad now because somebody said something about me, or now I feel a certain way. Like, why? Like, what is so powerful about that word or any word that can hurt you? Like, it's just a word. It doesn't mean anything, especially if you don't know them. You might never see that person again. So why does it matter what they say? Like, that's what I don't understand. Because, like, for me, you can call me anything you want, anything in the book, anybody anywhere in the world. Do I care? No, because I don't know you. I don't care about you. I'm not going to get to know you. So why does it matter? Like, I just don't understand. Because for me, I'm like, I don't understand why they're so powerful. Because to me, you're giving them power over you by allowing that word to hurt you. If you don't even acknowledge it and you just ignore it and it doesn't bother you, then they don't have that power over you anymore.
I think if you don't say anything though, Gary, and you don't fight it, then the perception is you are what I just called you. So if I say that, you know, you a goat licker and you don't fight it, like, yeah, okay, whatever. Then, like, you know, then I feel like I just won the argument.
If I don't ever see you again, why does it matter? If you call me a goat licker, like, I don't care if you think I'm a goat licker. You don't know me. You'll never see me again. Or if it was online, you'll never meet me. I don't care.
That's a tough one, because sometimes, you know, I'm not in the right emotional state. And, you know, saying the wrong thing just kind of triggers me. And I gotta be honest with you. I'm a victim of that. Just that. Somebody that I don't know saying something to me. I was already heated and they said something to me and I absolutely blank. You was there. You stopped me from losing my mind. And you even asked me then, like, what are you mad about, bro? I'm like, dude, everything. Why don't you get mad? Do you ever get pissed off? He was like, yeah, I get pissed off. But, like, I move on. I'm like, well, I'm not there yet, damn it. I'm still working on that aspect of my life.
Because for me, it's like, I don't want to give somebody else the power to affect my day. Like, if I give them that power to affect my feelings for the day and how my day goes, like, I just gave them so much power. For what reasoning? Like, I just don't understand that.
How do you control that, though?
I just ignore it. Like, especially if I don't know the people, like, I'll never see these people again. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't mean nothing to me. I know who I am. I know who's around me. They know who I am. I don't care what other people think.
Right. I think that's the big thing is it's deeply rooted in how well you know someone. Like, if the person that says something to you is like your mom or one of your best friends or, you know, somebody that's like really close to you, I feel like they have more power to and more ability to hurt you because of that connection that you guys have. Whereas just like random internet trolls, you should have an ability to not let that affect you and get to you.
But it doesn't work that way, because this is not one of those worlds where you don't get upset about it, because I'm sure you guys have seen the videos of people just blanking for little stuff. And I'm just like, dude, how could you let that affect you? But then after listening to what Gary's saying, like, he has a good point. Like, why do you let random people you don't know affect your day and how you feel? But then again, we are creatures, Gary, and, you know, our hormones act like any other animal and hormones. We have our good days and we have our bad days. Just don't say anything crazy on bad days, and I'll look at it like it ain't, like it's nothing. But the way you're talking is every day should be a good day, regardless of what other people say that you don't know.
Well, like, for me, like, I can understand some people have things going on that people don't know about, like stuff's going through their head, and that pushes them over the line. That's their trigger point at that point, because they've already dealt with so much they've been holding in. But like, I understand that aspect. I just, like, for me, I guess because I've never really been pushed over that boiling point, so I don't understand it, because I don't want to give anybody that kind of power over me, in my eyes.
Okay, so this was gonna be kind of morbid, but just hanging there with me, Gary. It's because I know you, and this is probably one of those things because I know you that this is a hot button topic for me or for you. So you're out at the grocery store and somebody follows you and like they've been friends with you because on social media people live their lives on social media. You're no different from anybody else. So you tell them, you know, what affects you and what really doesn't affect you. So somebody brings up the fact like, hey, man, I saw that your dog passed away and just immediately start cracking jokes on your dog dying. That wouldn't affect your day?
I would say, hey, I don't need to hear that. That's fine. But I'm not going to let it bother me to where I'm going to make a scene or nothing. I'll just, hey, it's whatever. I'm just going to ignore it. Try to ignore it as best I can. Obviously, yeah, that's a touchy subject. Because
that's what I'm saying. Yeah, like, no, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
But it's the same thing as like, if I react to them, they're doing it on purpose. They're wanting a reaction.
Yes.
Now, if I give into that, I just gave them all that power over me. So now they feel powerful. If I don't give them that, they're like, well, shit, it doesn't affect him. So they might not try it again. They might do it again for somebody else. That's fine. But I'm just saying they know they weren't able to get power over me because some people see that as power. They say, oh, well, I can control this person by what I say to them. And I just don't feel like I'm going to give anybody that kind of power over me because especially with words.
Yeah, I think what I'm getting from you, and I hate that I'm getting this from you because it absolutely sucks, that now I'm going to be in a power struggle every time I go out and I'm not feeling like going out and somebody say something crazy to me. Because if I react, that's the power struggle. If I react, then I'm giving them the power. But if I stay calm, collective, and I keep my power, then, you know, I'm the powerful one in this group. Like, yeah, hey, yeah, good job. You almost got me, but you're not going to steal my energy today. That's the power struggle that we deal with every day, Gary.
I deal
with it with this weekend with my son. Yeah. Like, I deal with it with my kids, you know, but
it's
now
just like you said with your kids. Exactly. The kids know. They're not doing it on purpose, but they know if you give in to something, they just got that power over you, and then they're gonna keep trying it and keep trying it if you don't stop it. That's it's all part of life. Everybody does it. It's just whether you give into it. And now it's a whole let me clarify, it's a whole different thing if somebody's in the physical aspect, but words shouldn't you We're should never
words.
To me, I don't feel like words should bother people unless there's underlying issues. There's a difference in that.
Yeah. I like it.
I see we didn't get much input for time over there.
I mean, I gave you what I thought about it because, I mean, sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me. You know, that saying's been around for a long time, but I don't agree with that. I do agree that there are situations where words are going to hurt you and have an effect on you. But like I said, I think it comes down to, for me at least, the relationship I have with the person that's saying it. You know, one thing I want to get into with you guys is, kind of just being on Twitter has made me think about this just from different things, from seeing what Jemele Hill tweeted out about the president and Kanye West in his campaign rally had some very interesting words about Harriet Tubman. And so it kind of made me think, like, people that you listen to, especially musically wise, or like people that you go and watch their movies, does it mean that you support their thoughts, their ideas, and who they are as a person if you go enjoy their craft? Or if you don't agree with what they do or say, should you not show them that sort of support? Should you not, you know, be there and listen to them? So, stuff like that.
But this is a hard one. This is a hard one because R. Kelly, the artist, the music artist, is absolutely amazing. His music, his craft, his work that he put in is absolutely outstanding. It's unmatched by any other artist out there. However, the stuff that he does off the mic has nothing to do with why I like him. I just like his craft. I like the one on the mic. So it's kind of like that Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. It's the same person, but, you know, I know people will beat me up because, hey, you supporting. No, I'm not supporting somebody that rapes kids. The music is good. Like I shouldn't have to be forced between choosing a guy's music that I like to listen to versus what he do off the mic or off the camera or something like that. Because, you know, I can't control that. I can't control that at all. Like if you listen to most rappers have sold drugs or shot somebody and potentially killed somebody, but we still listen to them, and you know they're held to a different standard. If you saying, man, I could take them and I could listen to them, but I can't listen to this person over here. So that's what I feel. I feel like if you support the craft, like football players or basketball players or politicians or however you want to do it, like I don't think your morals have to line up with theirs if there's something about them that entertains you. But I mean, again, I could be wrong. What you think, Gary?
Yeah, see, I think you have to separate the person from the entertainer. I think they're two different people. Like you said, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde. They're two different people. I'll use Michael Jackson's example. Michael Jackson is one of my favorite artists musically, listening to his songs all the time. Don't support what he did off of it. Granted, none of it was proven, but who knows? I don't think you have to, oh, I'm not going to listen to this person because of that. Because like you said, there's a bunch of artists out there that are rappers, country singers, all this kind of stuff. Doesn't matter in every walks of life. Even with Nick Cannon, what he recently said, people are Nick Cannon fans, but because he might view something differently, should you not listen or watch Wild N' Out anymore or any other stuff because you don't like what he said? No, as you separate that stuff, him as a person, his views, or anybody's as a person is different than what they put out musically or movie-wise or entertainment-wise. It's a whole different thing. I think those are two separate categories, and you can listen to one and not care about the person that's behind it. The music and stuff can still be good. I think you need to separate that. In our cancel culture, we don't believe that you should be able to do that. But everybody, like you said, everybody has their right to believe what they want and listen to what they want and not be told and forced to change their view because it doesn't match to somebody else's view.
Well, I'm going to say this, and I'm going to let you go, Tom. I know this much. O.J. Simpson is one of the greatest football players of all time. One of them, not the best. I said one of them. Now, all of y'all out there that think that your morals are supposed to line up with and you don't like that, you better not buy that new Bronco. You better not damn buy that new Bronco.
I'm buying that Bronco.
Yeah.
I already got my pre-order in.
Yeah, you. Who made the Bronco famous, Gary? Who made the Bronco famous?
Ford. No, right. OJ made it. OJ killed the Bronco because they didn't make any more after that. And then bro, they just have to bring it back once they realize it's enough time. And it's actually, I will say, hey, they made a limited edition. Limited edition sold out in less than a day. So it's got a lot of pub behind it. But that's a great analogy. Like,
yeah, you can't say you can't buy that because that's OJ Simpson. That's kind of tied in with him.
Stands for so what he did, supposedly. Yeah,
exactly. That's what I'm saying. So with that being said, like that the new Broncos off the list. So all you that pre-approved, they got the loans and went out and bought the Bronco and put your little deposit down, go get it back.
I'm not. I'll be there the day it releases, getting mine.
And I'll
be bumping R. Kelly and MJ in the car on the way home.
Terrible.
What do you think, Tom? Who are you going with? What do you?
Well, I mean, as both of you guys know, I'm a huge Michael Jackson fan, and so I get this question all the time just because of the accusations of the pedophile stuff with him, and it's one of those things that. And because I'm such a big Michael Jackson fan, I'm sure I don't listen to people that say stuff like that. I'm just like, oh, it was never proven. So I can still enjoy his music. I can still enjoy him as an artist. But at the heart of it, it's hard for me to say because I feel like you can still enjoy the artist outside of who they are as a person and not support necessarily what they support because, you don't like the artist for who they are as a person. You like the artist for their craft, their music.
Question time. You said using MJ. So since you are biased towards MJ, use R. Kelly as example then. Like what's your feelings on the R. Kelly aspect if you listen to his music? Because you might not, like you said, you're a huge MJ fan. So instead of taking on the bias aspect out of it, use R. Kelly as an example. And what do you think with that aspect?
I'm going to pee on you. Yes, I do. I'll pee on you. I'll piss on you.
That's Dave Chappelle, sir.
Right. Yeah, my fault.
Tom, what'd you think, man?
Well, the thing about R. Kelly is because, I still feel a little bit of connection with him because of I Believe I Can Fly from Space Jam. And so he's another one that I grew up enjoying like The World's Greatest off the Ali soundtrack. I love that song. Yeah. So it's just R. Kelly is his transgressions haven't rose to a point where I'm like totally ready to just cancel him from my playlist. And that's in my opinion. But the, but it's just it's I don't know. I feel like it's to each their own because it's just I like I said, this is a very difficult question, but in my opinion, you can separate the artist from the person, enjoy their musical gifts that they were blessed with, and, you know, still be able to understand that they might not be the best person in the world.
Right, because, I mean, regardless of the times, Elvis Presley is one of the greatest artists of all times in a lot of people's mind, and he started dating a chick when she was 14. He was well older than her. So, you know, Kurt Cobain, drugs, you know, Jimi Hendrix, drugs. Yeah, these are iconic. Yeah, these are all iconic pictures. Yeah. I mean, you like Freddie Mercury, we saw his documentary. Like, do your morals line up with his morals? Like,
right.
Yeah. Like, we see these things and we shrug them off because they're not hurting anybody else. They're hurting themselves. Like, that's what we tell ourselves. As if, like, yeah, you know, it's different from Michael Jordan Michael Jackson. It's different from R. Kelly. You know, it's different from, but, I mean, drugs, I mean, they hurt everybody. If you want to get into that. I mean, you look at the Beatles. They was dropping acid, bro. Like, dropping acid, and that's what they was feeding to the world. So, I mean, when you say your morals got to line up, like, don't give yourself excuses. This is everybody.
Well, I think the root problem is people pick and choose what doesn't line up with them. And then like, oh, you can't listen to this person while they're still listening to that person that did just as bad or somewhat as bad as well. It's a pick and choose. People, if that was the case, there would be so much music that would be canceled because of all the people, all the stuff that they did during their time, whether it be abusing people or, like you said, killing people or murder or shooting people or hurting people or drugs. There's so many artists out there that had stuff like that. All of them would be canceled if you want to do that to everybody, but people pick and choose certain things.
That's right. Crazy, man.
And I don't want to talk. I don't want us to talk about this now because I feel like with the elections coming up, we're going to have to do a politics episode. But just like for an example, as Jemele Hill tweeted earlier today, if you vote for Donald Trump, you are a racist and you have no wiggle room. So it's like there's definitely that sentiment that's out there as far as, you know, you have to believe the way I believe about this person or there's no other way to think about it. So we'll bring that up.
I was just going to say, now, when you get into politics, I think they fall under a whole new umbrella.
Well, I do agree with that.
We'll say that we're going to have a special politics episode when it gets closer to the election. And that will be a very interesting and conversation that I don't know if people are going to be ready for because we're going to be blunt and it's going to be interesting.
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting.
I agree with that because you do have with politics people's lives in your hands as an elected official. But before we get to serve the story, we have Gary, 50 Shades of Gary. We got one tip from Gary. We're going to give you one tip from 50 Shades of Gary.
One tip,
Gary. What's your tip of the week, Gary?
All right, the tip of the week. Y'all all know how to hold your pee in, right? You've all trained yourself since you were a kid how to hold your pee in.
Yes. Right.
Well, you're able to do the same thing when it comes to sex. You just have to be willing to put that into play. Most people aren't willing to and can't hold it themselves into that. That is a huge thing. It takes work from the man to do it. You have to be willing to do it. But you learned as a kid how to hold your pee in so you don't pee your pants. You can do the same thing. You can train yourself to hold it in as a male, too, when it comes to sex life. Y'all might not be able to do it, but it's something that you can do. It's easy to do if you choose to do it.
Hold up, Gary. So you mean to tell me who you practice on? You say you got to be willing to put the practice in.
Every man has their own private time. You can do it during that time.
Oh, my God, Gary.
No, I'm going to give it to you. I'm going to break it down for you because every man, you know when that time's going to come. You know when you're going to finish. Every man knows So you know that too when you're doing you're by yourself with Rosie Palmer. And you can train yourself like you do when you hold your pee, you can hold it in so you can make yourself last longer. But you have to be willing to do it. It's not easy to do it, and it takes practice. But you can do it if you want to do it. That is tip number one.
I am going to enjoy this segment. I'm going to enjoy this segment every week, bro. Do you hear what he said? You are crazy, bro.
You asked. You said
quarantine has really gotten to you, bro.
I'm just giving you a tip that does work that I have used, so it does work. I am living proof it works.
My most interesting thought right now is just Gary sitting at home practicing.
Why are you imagining that?
Gary, so have you found, because you know, like, the male ejaculation is a very slippery slope as far as once you reach a certain point, I feel like there's no going back.
No going back. So that's what I'm saying.
What is the point that you have to start this technique in order for it to work?
Well, you know the point where there's a no going back to it. It's right before that.
Okay.
It's literally right before that. You have to make sure you don't get to that where there's no more, there's no going, no stopping.
You do realize once you get to that point, you don't want to go back. You don't want to go back.
That's why I said it isn't easy. You have to train yourself to stop. That's why you have to do it while you're by yourself, not with your partner.
Okay, so this is where now the quality of life is terrible and the quantity is bad. Like, I don't know. I think I'm going to choose quality over quantity.
Women, I'm just trying to give these guys clues to help them last longer, to help y'all, because most guys don't last long enough to please a woman. I'm trying to give tips. If they don't want to take it, y'all need to get mad at them.
Okay. All right. Okay, Gary. 50 Shades of Gear.
All right. Well, that was this week's episode of 50
Shades. I wasn't ready for that, were y'all?
Oh, bro. I
hope you had some good stuff.
I obviously got a lot of practice that I need to do.
Those are rookie numbers, D. You got to get them up.
Oh.
Damn it, boy. All right, I think we got a served a story we need to get to. And whose turn is it to finish this week? Or do we need to practice not finishing?
Nice segue.
That was a great segue, Tab. That was an awesome segue.
I think D'Angelo's up for finishing.
I got this. I got to say the story. Because y'all have been jacking it up this whole time. So
I'm just trying to make it more interesting. I'm trying to give us different twists and turns.
I see that. I hate the roller coaster that you built, because at some point I think somebody's going to die on this thing. Somebody's going to die. And that's why I don't like your roller coaster. So that's why I'm taking over.
Well, it all depends on how you finish the roller coaster, if anybody dies. If you choose not to finish it well, then yes, somebody dies. If you do a great job finishing, everybody survives.
Well, I already told you, I'm at that point of no return. I'm just going to let it go.
Oh, my gosh.
Let's go. Here I go.
Oh, snap, Marcus. Dude, it looks like a lion's tail. Man, you know, really, stop. No. BJ says, I know exactly what it looks like. What's the name of that show? Avatar. You know how they hook their hair to the hair of the other people? Like, that's what it looked like. Dude, I could see why you can have an issue with that. BJ, chill, bro. Just chill. It's a reproductive gland, man. As long as don't nobody else know and don't nobody else find out, we'll just be fine, man. Is my secret safe with you? BJ kind of looks around. He's like, man, I have no idea how I'm going to be able to stop this. And Marcus goes, stop what? The door flings open and there's six strippers walk in. One has a bra on. Another one has their bra off. One has no panties on. One has no panties off. And one screams, oh, yeah. It's time to party. This is the guy that you was talking about right here, BJ. This is who you paid us for. BJ's like, whoa, hold on. Oh, no, we come to party. One had a speaker in her hand. This is the turn up. It's time to get real. BJ's like, no. It's been a misunderstanding. No. This is not going to happen. Marcus is pleading with them as well. No. We want to call this off. No. The one slams the door and lock it. BJ, you pay for this. You getting all of this. It's time to party.
Yep. And that's just what I do, man. I know y'all
wouldn't.
And now
he goes to sleep.
Yeah. Hey, man, I crushed it.
I know what a woman feels like when there's so much build up in anticipation and you
and just let down like that. Yeah. Don't worry.
Time.
Don't worry. I'll go ahead and pump out another kid like I've done. Let me finish this.
Look, I'm just letting you know, I feel my 2 minutes.
Hey, that ain't right. Well, that's all right. I think it's time to wrap up this week's podcast. We're going to stop it. We appreciate y'all tuning in. We'll be back next week, but don't forget to check us out Thursday on Serve the Story.
Season 5
We out.
You are now listening to the Cinnamon and Sugar Podcast featuring D'Angelo Williams and Gary Barnage. You push play and they'll push the limits.